Welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. I'm Nikki Masterman, founder and managing director of Inspired HR. In this series, alongside my fabulous guests, we will be chatting about becoming a consultant and the benefits of a licensed model. Everyone's working styles are different. In this episode, I'm joined by Lisa Murphy, CEO of Limelight HR. If you're interested in starting out on your journey, this episode is a must listen to find out why collaboration with other professionals is key throughout this process. Lisa also shares some of her fun and very innovative ways of working, so let's get stuck in. Lisa, welcome to the podcast. Could you introduce yourself and tell us about your journey into consultancy?
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me today. It's an honour to be on your podcast. I think we were destined to do this a while back, weren't we?
We can. And let's forewarn all of the listeners, we are both ADHDers, so we're going to do a lot of talking.
Yeah, you might want to slow this down, unless you're also ADHD, and then normal speed is probably fine. Nice to be here. Thank you very much. I'm the CEO of Limelight HR and Learning. So that's my HR consultancy and L&D consultancy that I started 3.5 years ago. We offer a wide range of services. So a lot that's quite similar to other HR consultancies, but then we do some kind of very different bits as well, which is always nice, I think, across us HR consultancies. Everybody seems to have a bit of a niche or a bit of a specialism, and it makes us all quite diverse. So as in particular, we do leadership development, accredited management and leadership training. We are just becoming a DISC psychometric centre. So we're already DISC psychometric practitioners, but we're actually going to be able to teach people how to become DISC psychometric practitioners as well.
Fantastic. And you are brilliant at that.
Thank you.
And, you know, so people are probably wondering already, as a business owner of my own HR consultancy, and I have a model of attracting individuals to buy licenses, offers and work with us, why on earth would I bring another HR consultant onto my podcast that people might deem it as competition? But I have said this before, and I'll always say it again, I'm very much about collaboration over competition. And we met a number of years ago when I was a judge for the HR Independence, and you were nominated and a finalist, and you know, we just clicked and we get on brilliant. But I have so much respect for what you do in business, you know, and you and I do work together. So talk to me about the partnership you and I have. So Limelight HR and Inspired HR, how did it come about? What do you remember about how we connected, how we ended up working together? And why do we work together?
Yeah, I mean, it seems a million years ago, doesn't it? But it was probably only about 3 years ago. I actually think it was before the HRI event. I think that when I very first set up, I put a post on one of the Facebook groups that many of us are members of, asking a simple question, I think, about pricing. And you very kindly jumped on and said, you know, let's have a Zoom meeting, let's have a coffee, and I'll help you as much as I can. And I remember getting on there, and I think 90 minutes went by, and I just went, for 90 minutes.
Because I didn't stop talking.
Well, you just showed me everything about your business. You know, you got me on the screen share, you showed me everything about your terms of business, about how you priced everything. You talked to me about your journey, and I just came off thinking, oh my word, this woman has just shared with me so much that's going to make my business so much easier, and is going to save me from having to go through that learning journey that you have to go through in the first couple of years. Save me so much of that. And I just thought, this lady's amazing, and she's the most helpful person that I've met. And then I just instantly felt like you'd adopted me, actually, in HR consultancy. And genuinely, you know, you sent me loads of stuff afterwards, and it really did fast forward my business from this very embryonic, you know, kind of there's so much to do and I don't know where to start. You know, what's this going to look like? How am I going to shape it? It completely fast forwarded that to actually, here's a framework that I can use, here's a plan that works for somebody and I know it works. And it just gave me so much confidence and reassurance that I was along the right tracks. And I was just forever grateful. Then I think it was the awards.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah, no, you are right. And actually, that was a great meeting. And that's something I've kind of always continued to do, where a lot of people are surprised that, why would you share your pricing? Why would you share what your model is? Why would you give them copies of those documents? But again, it comes back to something that I repeat quite often is, there is enough work out there for all of us, and we don't need to hide or worry that someone's going to steal what we do, because it simply comes down to people by people. And people work with me and our teams and the people that work under our brand because they're by that person that they've met. So irrelevant of what you charge or whether your model's similar, people by people more often than not in what we do.
Yeah, and it's like you say, it's a growing industry. I mean, I always had a little bit of an issue as an in-house HR person, that you're trying to be everything to everybody and you're trying to be neutral, but you're not, you know, and who's there championing you and what mm-hmm. you do. And actually, as an external HR person, as a HR consultant, a lot of the kind of issues and kind of issues with my values and how things aligned, being an external HR consultant is just so much better for those, and it works so much better for businesses. So I can see why it's a growing industry, because actually it works really well and there is enough work out there for everybody.
There is.
You know, and you're right, we all have different strengths. There's three HR consultancies around by me that are kind of similar size or fairly large, and we're all completely different. There's one that's very employment law focused, very traditional, I would say, absolutely amazing at investigations and kind of low-level support, but probably wouldn't go in and do some amazing leadership development or some coaching or use DISC psychometrics in a recruitment process. And there's another one that's, you know, wants lots and lots of business and to churn it over and charges a very little amount for that. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of businesses don't want that. They want a really personal service and they're quite happy to pay more for that. So there's different places in the market for different consultancies. And I don't think you should ever be threatened about the competition, because there's a place for all of us.
There absolutely is. And you and I connected in that way, because even though we both have actually very similar models in the way that you and I both tend to work very much heavily on our business rather than in it now. We do still choose to do some in it because we enjoy and we love what we do. But we both built multiple employees, multiple associate business. But we both recognise that you and I both carry very different skill sets and specialisms. So although you and I are both very, very strong on generalist HR, your disciplinaries, your grievances, very strong employee relations, we've also both got leadership and development background. You know, I remember my days of working on that from my corporate days in Tesco and Asda. But when we work within the SME market, they expect us to be everything end to end, full circle, HR, whether that's mediation, coaching, generalist, strategic HR, learning and development. Now, you absolutely thrive on L&D and you've built a fantastic project-based business. And, you know, I know that's been a big focus in your business, whereas my business model originally was very much that strong generalist, employee relations, supporting with all of, you know, the very day-to-day case stuff. But we both have similar models, but whereas we absolutely specialise in anything neurodiverse and generalist, and we can still do everything else, you very much specialise in that L&D and can still do everything else as well. And this is where we quickly realised why it pays to work together, because if we get a big L&D project and the DISC profile and all of that, I can do it, my seniors can do it, but actually they love the generalist stuff. So why don't I work with someone that can partner with me, I trust and has my ethics and my values in the way we work. We would never steal clients. You know, we work so well together. So you and I partner up on particular projects, you know, L&D, you share all of your training L&D stuff with me and you have fantastic programs and I share everything. And it's about working together, and that's why we ended up working together.
I'd say the important point there for me is about that aligned values. There's so many people in HR consultancy that, you know, I'll work with in a number of different ways. We are hoping to white label our L&D offer, because there's many HR consultancies that don't do L&D as well. Or if they do, it's very traditional HR training where it's an investigation training or something quite, you know, process driven, probably PowerPoint slides with lots of information on, which is fine. There's a place for that. But the training that we do for managers and for leaders, we make it really exciting. We make it fun. It's really quite different to a lot of the other stuff that's out there. So if we could white label that, and other HR consultancies can then offer that to their clients, you know, as an additional, as an added value piece, their clients are happier because there's an additional service for them. They make a cut of it with very little work because all they're doing is introducing one person to another. And then we get to deliver our fabulous training. But we do have to have those aligned values. And I think that's the kind of unwritten rule for us. Mm-hmm. You know, I would never go in as an L&D person and then start talking about my HR services. It just wouldn't be what we would want to do. So you've got to have those aligned values. And 99% of the people in HR consultancy do have those. Mm-hmm. There is the odd one that I would say, but you soon suss them out, I think.
You do. And we have come across that. We've seen that. You know, we're both nationwide contacts. Mm-hmm. We have very similar circles. And we have seen it happen where people have taken clients of people have been doing associate work for. It doesn't happen often, but we have seen it happen. And it does really affect people. But you and I are very much aligned. And we're both very open that when we talk to clients and things as well, that we do operate our own both businesses, but we're bringing our strengths together and working together, because you can do so much more when you work as a team and collaborate with people who align in the way that they work. And your programmes, and I mean, I'm completely impressed by them. I've never seen nothing like it. I've worked in L&D in the corporate world, and, you know, I designed and contributed to the programmes for development in retail. But when I looked at your programmes, they're inspiring. So you can have the typical PowerPoint, death by PowerPoint, which nobody wants anymore. But I've seen pictures of yours and I've witnessed yours where people have, you know, you make cocktails based on behaviours, and you know, the work with Lego and plasticine and everything is so visionary in the way that they learn with you. So, you know
that I designed them for ADHD people. That's the trick. So both my children are ADHD and autistic, and they both hate school and hated school the entire way through. And my background's education as well. I worked in colleges for years, you know, so I've been surrounded by education. And actually, there's whole theories about the way that adults learn is so different to how they say children learn, although in my view that's changing. But they would say children are empty vessels and you must kind of stand at the front and fill them with information and they should sit there quietly and listen. You know, that just doesn't really cut it anymore. But particularly with adults, nobody that's in the training room is ever an empty vessel. Everybody that comes into that training room is bringing life experience, work experience. You know, I never feel like the expert in the room. And anybody that's training for Limelight, you know, they don't go in there to be the expert in the room. They go in there to facilitate everybody else's knowledge and learning and get that out of them. It's a very different approach to kind of, I'm the expert and I'm going to stand here and tell you things. That's the big difference.
And your programmes are very much adapted for individuals that, because you don't know who's in the room, and we do all learn differently. You and I have had many conversations about how learning within the education system is very challenging, because it's on the journey, it's got a long way to go, but the education has got a long way to go in the way that it works for the minds of neurodiverse individuals. Mm-hmm. Because you can't concentrate when you sit still. So the way you've designed your programme, people can get up and move. They can.
Well, they do. They have to.
You've got fidget toys. You've got everything that enables them to concentrate.
There's probably no more than 15 minutes where they're sat. And I would say definitely no more than 10 minutes where they're listening to somebody talk. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just packed with activities. And the feedback we get at the end of every programme is, oh my word, that went very quickly. You know, that was the least boring training I've ever been on. I'm like, I'll take that. Usually when we do the feedback after the sessions, it's the fidget toys were brilliant, you know, love the activities. They always say the thing I loved the most was being in the room with the rest of the team, because we're so hybrid these days as well. So we always make sure that we build in lots of time for team building and networking, because when you learn off others, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily the person at the front, you'd learn off the other people in the room.
Exactly. So why do you think L&D is so crucial for new HR consultants entering the field today, and how can it benefit them in business?
I mean, I suppose there's two ways of looking at that question. L&D for the individual consultant, but then also L&D for their offering as a HR consultancy. So firstly, I think for an individual consultant, I mean, in HR, we have to have a growth mindset. If you haven't got a growth mindset, you might as well just go and do something else.
Yeah, don't go into business as a consultant unless you plan on growing.
Go do finance.
I've gone from my corporate days of no leadership books to now I've got shelf upon shelf of business books, coaching books, ADHD books.
Yeah.
So we do have to have that growth mindset.
Absolutely. I mean, if you haven't got that, you've got a low plasticity in your brain, I think it's not the career for you, is it?
No, not at all.
You know, but equally, when you set up as a consultant, you might know, you know, loads and loads about HR, but what do you know about business? Now, I would say that over 3.5 years that I've been running, you know, started as a standalone HR consultant, took on my first person at 18 months. I've now got 5 people on my team plus a pool of associates that I lose track of. So in 3.5 years, it's become a beast. And I would say at the start, there was a big percentage of my role that was HR consultancy. I would say now, like you, Nikki, probably a very small percent of my role is HR consultancy. Mm-hmm. And a really big percentage of my role is business leadership.
Yeah.
You know, this year, particularly, my role has pivoted to be a lot around financial analysis, metrics, management information, systems. There's a few buzzwords we've had as a business this year around, you know, trying to make us really slick. So we want, you know, the customer to come on board. We want them to, we want it to be a slick process. We want to delight them. Feedback loops. There's all these things that you would never have heard of as a HR consultant. So your own L&D as a business person is critical. There's so much I know now that I didn't know 3.5 years ago about business, and there's so much more I've got to learn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely critical. In terms of L&D as an offering, I've always viewed it with HR, like there's two ways to do it. There's a reactive way and a proactive way. Mm-hmm. I've worked in environments where it's reactive and it frustrated the absolute hell out of me. I mean, there was one place where we just re-recruited the same role, like literally the same role again and again and again and again. And I thought, oh my word, why don't you just make the role better? And then maybe one of these people will stay.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the difference. You know, reactive is, oh, they've left, let's recruit. They've left, let's recruit. Proactive is, why are they leaving?
Yes.
Right. And if you're doing HR, L&D is the remedy to so many issues. You know, how many cases come to us where you go, if they'd have just had that difficult conversation, this would not be here. How many grievances go back 3 years, 5 years, 7 years? Well, 7 years ago, Bob said, you know, and you think, oh my God, why has nobody tackled Bob in 7 years? So the course that we had the actor on was difficult conversations. And the common feedback that we get when we're booked for something like that is they all say they can do it. They all think they can do it. They're not doing it.
Yeah, and we see this a lot, don't we? I mean, that's actually probably the program and the training that we deliver more than anything. Mm-hmm. The leadership, the conflict management, the difficult conversations. I get asked for it all the time. And touching on the two things you said there around the self-development, you know, like yourself, I'm a disc practitioner and we talk about colours and we use it in business all the time. So you've absolutely, you know, I'd recommend to anyone that the need to become a practitioner, and obviously they can approach you for that now as well.
Absolutely.
Which is brilliant. Congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
I think absolutely people need to be coming to you for that. But I've done my disc profile 3 times in the last 7 years and I've altered slightly every time. And it's interesting because, like I say, I did my disc profile in literally about 6 weeks ago and I came out with the eye, the bright, shiny, yellow, real extrovert, which everyone knows me for, that bags of enthusiasm, talkative person, life and soul, social butterfly. But the S, whereas because I focus so much now on helping other people be successful, that S has really dominated mm-hmm. my business side now. So instead of that D, which used to be very dominant business, it's actually support. So I'm now that very outgoing, supportive person. So it's funny how it changes as we go through business. But I find that this profiling within an L&D program is essential because a lot of it comes down to, when it comes to conflict, behaviours, different personalities, where the colours are quite opposite, introverts, extroverts. So, you know, and you've moulded all of that into the L&D programme because you will get so much more out of it when people understand each other.
Well, self-awareness is the key. You know, the leaders, when we get brought into a leadership team where there's a specific leader that, you know, everybody else is kind of adapted to the values or adapted to the change, but maybe there's one or two leaders that just aren't getting it. What I find fascinating is when we do DISC reports, you know, which we do in some way on all of our programs. What I'll see 9 out of 10 times is that when it comes back, they say, oh, no, that doesn't sound like me. And there's a real lack of self-awareness. Mm. And everyone else will go, no, that does sound like you. And they'll say, no, I don't believe in this test, actually. I don't think it's right. And even that in itself is a learning piece for that person. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you've got these good facilitation skills, that opens up a whole conversation about why is that mismatch? You know, why do you think that you're like this, but other people are seeing that? Mm. You know, where's that coming from? And just that conversation alone can transform that leader's behaviour, because suddenly there's some reflection there. Mm-hmm. And there's maybe some acknowledgement that, oh, actually, maybe I'm not coming across how I think I am. Mm-hmm. Maybe in my head this is how I'm seen, but other people aren't seeing that. So that self-awareness and that feedback from others, for me, fundamental to any program. The human skills is what we're developing. I would argue they're going to be more and more critical as the world moves on right now, mm-hmm. with AI and automation and kids coming out with much lower social skills than in previous times. I think the human skills are absolutely critical. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think there's going to be an increasing need for it with younger generations. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we do when we go out and facilitate these sessions.
You do. And it's interesting because the reports do show what you believe you are versus what other people see, mm-hmm. as well, which is really interesting. And when you first look at the report, you can see the difference. So, Lisa, you've talked to us about how you are going to be white papering your training. White label, I should say. And obviously you're now going to be this academy for people to become these DISC profilers. Mm-hmm. So what advice can you give, and how can individuals thinking of setting up their own consultancies or bringing these services into their businesses engage with you for that support and that partnership?
I mean, I think the first thing is just to reach out and have a chat and a coffee. You know, my business, I think, is fueled by coffee, if I'm honest, as I'm sure yours is. We spend so much of our time, don't we, just kind of helping people, supporting each other, checking for the alignment that's there. So I think that would be the first thing, is just, you know, reach out, have a coffee. It might be right for you. It might not be right for you. You've got to think about where people are in their business, what their strategy is. You know, maybe it's not right now, but it will be in the future. It's all of those kind of existential questions, isn't it, with your business? Mm-hmm. Some people are very much finding and feeling their pathways and doing a bit of an exploration, and that's fine. Like, that's what we need to do. But, you know, reach out, have a coffee, have a chat.
And that's how we started, you know. I mean, you and I have had very many conversations, and I'll say to you, and I know we talked about this, and it was quite an emotional conversation for you, I think, when we talked about this, that the reason I have gone down this route of territory license to support other professionals build their own businesses under my brand was because we actually had a conversation, and you actually talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, where I gave so much to you, and mm-hmm. I remember you saying to me, oh my God, Nikki, I wish I'd known you before. Mm-hmm. If you could just box everything you have done with me today, your whole model. I mean, I remember showing you the CRM I'd built, and you were like, oh my God, never seen nothing like it.
No, I needed to sleep for a week after seeing it.
But it was yourself that planted that seed of, do you know what? Maybe I could box this and help other people. So I then spotted the potential of growing my business through helping other people build under my brand and just boxing what I already do. And I know we had a conversation when we talked about your business, when you were very, very generous with me about all of your training material, and you shared a lot of your stuff with me as well. And I went to you, have you ever thought about white labeling this? Mm-hmm, there's so mm-hmm. many HR consultants out there that absolutely, and that's why it pays for two people on the similar journey to work and talk together. And you've done that again quite recently. You know, we are quite unique in the model that we've got, because a lot of HR consultants may have one or two staff or they mm-hmm. stay standalone. But you and I, very ambitious, have built very big, you know, we've built incredible businesses, which we're both very proud of.
Yep.
We're not the done article and we're not perfect. We nope. both know that. But what you do is, you're very similar to me in the values that, you know, you recently set up a group with some other HR businesses that are similar size to you and I. And I know that first meeting we had recently, we were all very similar in our focus and goals, but very different places around what we specialised in. And already that collaboration between us all is planting seeds and examples and helping each other, because it is, you know, you bring the right people together, we collaborate over competition. No, so,
absolutely. I mean, part of our business model, the white labelling of the training is one part, but there's other little bits that we'll do that other HR consultancies won't as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we can support others, just like there might be bits that, you know, we don't want to do that other HR consultancies do. One of the things I've got to mention, our visual handbooks, because that's one
they
of the main...
fabulous.
We love doing them. That's one of the main ways we do work with other consultancies. If their clients want the long handbook with all the policies, but actually they want a short, snappy, graphically designed one, we've randomly got a little specialism in graphically designing a handbook. So, you know, that's another way that actually I've have probably had a really decent amount of business from other HR consultancies. So it's really worth that collaboration over competition. And those some consultants that I see that are very closed off and they don't want to do that and they don't, you know, network with other HR consultants, they see them as the competition. I think you're missing out. You're missing out on so much.
They're missing out massively.
What I would say about you kind of doing your HR consultancy in a box that we've had that conversation about is if on day one I could have come and got that, it would have been worth so much. I mean, the pain that I've had to go through to find it all out myself, you know, the time that it's taken, the energy, the resources, the price that you're charging, I don't think is enough personally. But there's money in HR consultancy. You know, it's not that hard to get to six figures. It can take a little bit of time, but most people I know that have set up have got there at some point. But to have the helping hand that you provide from day one, it's just going to skip a load of very horrible, painful, messy stages. And if I was starting up again, I'd want to skip all of those. So I think it's amazing you're doing it. I've already told you that you're going to be way too supportive. And I know I'm going to have to be having words at some point to say, Nikki.
You will.
They've got to do it themselves, Nikki. But, you know, anyone that goes for that, I think is going to be incredibly lucky.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And obviously, likewise, if you're thinking as a consultant, you want to build an L&D business, or you want to become a DISC accredited practitioner, or you need these fantastic handbooks that Lisa designs, these are all things we would come to you for. We'd send our team and everything to you. So it does pay to know people. Lisa, I really appreciate it. I obviously will continue to work with you, and we always will. We've got a fantastic relationship, and I love spending time with you. I mean, we're different parts of the country. You're Birmingham, I'm Northeast, but we still love to get together. So thank you for coming on my podcast today, Lisa. As one final point or recommendation you could give any HR consultant, what would that be?
I mean, it's got to be collaboration over competition, hasn't it, after this conversation? Yeah, it would be get out there, get to know everybody, get to speak to as many people as you can. Every person you speak to, you're going to pick up a little nugget, and it's going to shape your journey. And actually, the one thing I would say is do it your own way. So, yeah, take the support, take the help. Take the help from Nikki, buy your business in a box, mm-hmm. but don't feel like there's only one way to do it. Every one of those 12 consultancies you were talking about that we're the little group with, we all do it differently.
We do.
You know, we're all entrepreneurs. We've probably all got ADHD brains. But because of that, we all think of innovative different things. And that's what makes it amazing and diverse and a really, really fun thing to do.
It does. And obviously anyone coming into our license, even though they get the business in the box and they get my guidance and guidance from all of the partners and fantastic partners like yourself that we've built around us, they still get to run their business in their way. So thank you for coming on, Lisa. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
Thanks for having me.
And for our listeners, if you're looking to reach out to Lisa, the contact details for Lisa will be in the commentary along the podcast.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the HR Business Blueprint podcast. For any information on what we've covered in this episode, head to the show notes. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. See you next time.